Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 28, what a great chapter of the Bible. Some great truths, some great verses, great proverbs. We're going to focus on one proverb there, which is verse number one. Proverbs 28 verse 1 reads, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." And the title of my sermon today is "The New Independent Fundamental Baptist Lion." The New Independent Fundamental Baptist Lion. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this this great verse in the Bible and the truths that we can get from that. Please help me to preach accurately, boldly. Help me to be filled with your spirit. Help people to have attentive ears and hearts. Help us to want to respond to what your word says today. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Proverbs 28 verse 1 gives us two extremes of people, doesn't it? Turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. You've got the wicked here, which isn't just talking about the unsaved. The first time the word is used, the word wicked is used, is in Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 13, where the Bible reads, Genesis 13, 13, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Okay, so here it's talking about wicked, disgusting, grievous people doing abominable acts, yeah? This is some disgusting sin, is it not? Yeah. And if you're unsure what the men of Sodom were doing, well, it's what the Bible, what the world calls today homosexuality, and what the Bible calls sodomy, named after the men of Sodom. It is a vile, disgusting thing. The Bible is very, very clear about that. And as a name, the wicked, we see that a few chapters later in Genesis chapter 18, verse 23. So being called the wicked, Genesis 18, 23 says, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Who's he talking about? Again, the men of Sodom. Okay, these vile, disgusting perverts. Okay, people that do things which no normal person would ever consider. Okay, these are disgusting people. They are the wicked, the Bible calls here. Now, often in the Bible, not always, okay, just to make that clear, not always, but very often it seems in the Bible, when it says the wicked, it's referring to the most wicked people around. Reprobates, children of the devil, yeah. Sodomites, they all go hand in hand. Children of Belial, which makes sense, as his name, the devil, is the wicked one. Yeah, as he's called, the wicked one. So the wicked, sinners of the lowest kind, we're seeing here in Proverbs 28 verse 1, flee when no man pursueth. It makes me think of the ultra-paranoid sodomite. I remember when COVID kind of was first going on and they had like, everyone had to wear a mask in the supermarket. And I remember seeing this sodomite literally like skipping around. it was kind of comical if they weren't so disgusting. And I've seen this a bit. I've seen these people, they just look so just paranoid and panic-stricken and fearful and everything else. And the wicked do flee often when no man pursueth. Now, some of the wicked like to appear not to be scared. But you know, even some of the so-called toughest people I've ever met in my life, a lot of the time are so full of fear. In fact, a lot of the time the reason they're getting in fights and things is to try and show, to have this reputation and everything else. A lot of time just picking on people they know they can beat up. Okay, and some of these people are far reprobates as well. They're just a bit quieter. They're not quite as camp as the ones that want to show everyone they are. But a lot of the time, that's what it's talking about with the wicked. So the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Okay, that's person number one. And then you've got the second type. The second type of person, the righteous, who's bold as a
lion. Who are the righteous? Is that everyone that's saved? Well, being saved is part of it, is you're only righteous in God's eyes by faith in Jesus Christ, aren't you? Now, if you turn to Philippians 3, 9, talking of Christ, says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." But is everyone with faith as bold as a lion then? Is everyone with faith as bold as a lion? What does it mean to be as bold as a lion? Let's work out what that actually means. What about the old insult, being a scaredy cat? Do you remember that one? I don't know if they still use that now. I don't know if it's kind of prejudice against cats or something. Maybe they banned that one. But there was an old saying, wasn't there? Scaredy cat and that sort of thing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. I was looking at, so for this, and just, well, actually, I say for this, I had been looking at some documentaries, little ones on YouTube about lions, and in particular, the male lion, and that is an amazing animal, okay, amazing animal. And I was looking at some documentaries and looking at some footage, and, you know, that's always good fun, isn't it? Especially when you can tell yourself you're preparing for a sermon with it as well. And there's some good stuff out there, and you're in Proverbs 30. Let's just have a look at this quickly before I continue. Proverbs 30, 29 says, there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. So this is Proverbs chapter 30 and from verse 29. Four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. A greyhound and he goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. So verse 30 says, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. Now, people might look at that and go, oh, wait a minute, what about the tiger? What about the crocodile? What about whatever other you name it, whatever your favourite animal is that you think can take on a male lion? Well, I was watching a short documentary about the male lion. And basically it was whether or not a male lion could defeat a whole hyena clan. Okay, and when we talk about a whole hyena clan, we're talking about sometimes 20 plus hyenas. And hyenas are no joke, yeah? Hyenas, in fact, have a stronger bite. So their PSI is that little bit stronger than a male lion's bite. Did you know that? Yeah, they have a strong bite, hyenas, and they put the fear into whole prides of lion. When it comes to battling for food, sometimes they'll chase off all those females, all those juvenile lions, and they're intelligent creatures as well. Okay, obviously that, you know, they're in the dog family, they're very intelligent, they work in teams, they're intimidating, they are scary, scary creatures. But look, they will take on a whole pride sometimes, and they'll scare off a whole pride until the male lion comes along. And I was watching videos where you would have a whole clan of hyenas, yeah, 20 plus hyenas around a kill, and then suddenly they just start darting in all directions, and you just see this male lion running towards a kill. Every single one legs it. Now they'll take on 10 females and younger lions and juvenile lions. They'll take on sick male lions, and they love showing these videos of that. But that one healthy, dominant male lion comes along and they leg it. And sometimes they won't leg it quick enough and he'll go straight for the kill. He'll just grab the nearest hyena, just kill it in front of them, and they're all legging it. Now, why is that? Because 20 hyenas, I think the male lion is probably three times the weight of an average hyena. 20 hyenas, well, you do the math, that's six, seven times more weight than that lion. They could be biting from every angle, couldn't they? Yeah, they could be biting every part of him. They could all just get stuck in. So why is it that male lion is so scary to them? Why is it that he's so bold? Why is it that a male lion would run into a pack of 20 hyenas and they would all dart? Why is he so confident that they're going to run off? Do you know what his main strength is? It's his boldness.
Yeah, amen.
It's his boldness. That's why that proverb said, is as bold as a lion. That's why it says, a lion where you were, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. Do you know what I honestly believe? I believe you put that male lion, it doesn't matter. You put your tiger there, you put whatever else. When that male lion wants something, if that was eating something, that male lion wants it, he'll chase it off. Because it's a boldness, it's a confidence. It doesn't matter that, oh, well, some tigers are bigger. The Siberian's a big tiger, isn't it? Yeah, but that male lion's got something up there which the rest don't have. It has, and it will fight until someone gets killed. And the male lion is an amazing creature, but it's a mentality. It's a mentality. It's a boldness of the male lion.
Amen.
It's because he turneth not away for any that he's strongest among beasts. That's why he's strongest among beasts. It's not because he's the biggest. It's not because he's got the most powerful bite. He doesn't. It's not because he's got maybe the sharpest claws. Oh, yeah, he's got some sharp claws. You'll swipe your head clean off. But it's because of his mentality, it's because he's bold. Turn to 1 Chronicles 12. And how do the hyenas know this? So how do the 20 hyenas, 20 plus sometimes, know how bold he is? It's his posture and his countenance. It's his posture and his countenance. You've got in the front of your bulletins there a picture of a male lion. And when you see that face, that's not a scaredy cat, is it? That's not a scare. That's something that you see that coming at you and you better run, yeah? There's a boldness there. There's a confidence there. And the hyenas know that and the hyenas see that. And I argue that if that male lion who came along didn't have that look on his face and had more of a, was trying to blag it like some animals do, but didn't really have that boldness, didn't really have that confidence, I think those 20 hyenas would rip him to shreds. But it's because of his boldness, it's because of his countenance, it's because of his posture, it's because of his presence that they leg it. 1 Chronicles 11, you're in 12. 1 Chronicles 11 details David's mighty men. Then 1 Chronicles 12 gives us some additional men of renown. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 8 says, "And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might, and men of war fit for the battle that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains." What do you think it was about their faces? Do you think it was sharp teeth? They'd been filing them down? What is it we were talking about this the other week? I can't remember who I was talking about it with. About these people that filed down their teeth to go and get these, what do they call them again? Where they go to Turkey because it's cheap. Veneers. You ever seen anyone when they've had their teeth filed down before they get veneers? My word, it looks absolutely horrific. They're very sharp though, aren't they? Very sharp teeth. But I don't think they were sharp. I don't think they were filing down their teeth to get veneers eventually. Just bizarre vanity there. Do you think they had whiskers? Maybe they'd done something with their beards so that they just had whiskers growing out and the rest was all maybe shaved. Or maybe they had a big beard. Well, I think it was something about their faces, wasn't it? Turn to Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 1. I mean, you could say grow a beard for starters. No, I'm joking. You don't need a beard to be bold as a lion. But what is it? How do we get this boldness? How do we get faces like the faces of lions? Well, Ecclesiastes 8:1 says, "Who is as the wise man?" Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. "Who is as the wise man and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed." The boldness of his face shall be changed. So according to Solomon here, wisdom makes the boldness of our face to change. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's the wisdom that makes our faces change. So what is it about the lion here that makes his face change? Well, it's the boldness that makes his face change. Now, I'm not saying that the lion is wise. The lion has an innate boldness, but we can get that boldness, can't we? So wisdom makes the boldness of our face to change. Turn to Psalm 111. Where does wisdom come from then? It starts with salvation, doesn't it? You'll turn to Psalm 111. It starts with salvation. Psalm 111, verse 10, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Now, obviously, there's a fear of the Lord needed for salvation, isn't there? Yeah, and if you're going out and you're preaching the gospel to people and you're just trying to encourage them to say a prayer just because, you know, you might have a bit of a nicer life with it or something else, then I would suggest that you're not really getting them saved, okay? There has to be a fear of the Lord. There has to be a fear of hell to need a saviour and to want a saviour. It doesn't matter what they repeat after you. It doesn't matter what you persuade them to say. Yeah, they have to have a fear, don't they? Okay? The fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. That's a beginning, but it grows from doing his commandments, doesn't it? Yeah, it grows from doing his commandments. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments. Turn to Leviticus 26. Because when Proverbs 28:1 said, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion," I don't think it's just talking about being saved. Because I've seen many, many saved people out there that are not bold as lions. Okay? There are. There are many, many saved people that are not bold as a lion. In fact, I would say there are saved people out there that are bordering on being described more like the wicked. Who are fleeing when no man pursueth. Amen. Leviticus 26 and verse 13 says, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Of course, he's talking to Israel as a collective there. But there are saved men and women of God out there, aren't there? That seem more like they're fleeing than being as bold as a lion. Yeah? That seem like they're fleeing like the wicked rather than being bold as a lion. Of course, when you look at the Christian churches around, and look, just to make it clear here, yeah, we don't think, I've heard some preaching on this recently, but it was from somewhere else. It was from the US, yeah? And there are still some churches out there that don't believe like we do, where there's still people that are bold, they're still preaching properly, they're still preaching hard, they still have the gospel right, okay? We're not in that situation in this country. It's not there's just all these IFB churches around, but we just hate them because they don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, or they don't, because they do believe in the pre-trib rapture, or because they do believe in Zionism or something else. The issue is that the vast, vast, vast majority don't even have a saved man of God preaching. They don't even seem to have someone saved in the congregation, and they don't even seem to actually believe the gospel. Okay, and then after that, the ones that seem to just about, you think, well, they're a bit funny, but they seem to believe in grace through faith. Are they doing anything that the Word of God tells them to do? Hardly anything at all. Okay, so it's a very different situation here. And when you look at those churches, do you see any lion-like boldness? Because I've been to quite a few of these churches. It wasn't because, look, I was there and submitting to church leadership. I was doing as these pastors said. I was treating them with the utmost respect, in case you're sitting there going, why have you been to so many churches, brother? Because they end up being either unsaved. In fact, they all ended up being unsaved, barring a couple left. And then the last one, I think, before another unsaved one, reprobate false prophet that I left, the one before that just ended up refusing to sing because of COVID guidelines, and it's like I couldn't go to church and not sing, so I tried another church. But look, these churches out there, they are not as bold as a lion. And none of those ones that I look back on and go, okay, well, I can't say they weren't saved, they're anything but as bold. And I'm not just talking about the pastor, I'm talking about the people in the churches as well. Okay, they are not as bold as a lion. When you look at those churches, you're talking about the opposite. You're talking about scampering into little dark corners. You're talking about hiding from the light, yeah? You're talking about churches which are just trying to just keep a low profile, keep away, not say anything that's going to offend anyone. You've got people in the church that don't want to do anything that might actually show they're a Christian or anything else, okay? We're talking about the complete opposite of being as bold as a lion. What about that seemingly saved, apparently saved, casual dress wearing pastor, and I mean casual dresses in casual clothing, his liberal, you know, God is love flock. Do you look at people like that and go, bold as a lion, bold as a lion? He won't even preach something that offends his congregation, let alone that goes against the liberal mainstream. Right. He won't preach a thing, he'll just stick to the most just unoffensive passages. He will just create this new version of God because it just stops him having to be bold. And again, I'm not just talking about the pastor, because the congregation is the same, isn't it? The congregation is the same. Do you go in there and see people go, yeah, bold men and women of God in there, bold children of God in there? You don't see that at all, do you? No. You don't see that at all. When I look at the remaining, because a lot of those are what we'd call maybe new evangelical or something else like that. When you look at the remaining independent Baptist churches around, independent IFB, yeah, strong IFB churches. Are they strong? No. The ones in this nation are weak as anything.
Yeah.
Soft, scared of their own shadow, hiding behind whatever so-called laws, rules that they decide stop them being able to preach the whole word of God. Bold as a lion, no way. And again, congregation, no way. But here's the thing. There's a difference here, isn't there? There's a difference with the new independent fundamental Baptist. And if you're sitting there thinking, what is a new independent fundamental Baptist? Well, we're basically independent fundamental Baptists. Okay, it's not that we're this new denomination, because it's not a denomination anyway. Okay, but what we are, we're just people, we're just men and women and children of God here that just want to go back to the old paths. Yeah, and just basically preach what the Word of God says. Amen. Believe what the Word of God says. Go out and soul win like the Word of God says. And sadly, what we call old IFB churches seem to be going liberal and apostate quicker than I can get these words out of my mouth. And that's where we've got to, haven't we? Okay, that's why we proudly call ourselves, and proud in a good way, new independent fundamental Baptists, because we believe the Word of God. Amen. Okay? But that's the difference with us. And here's the thing, this is what you've got to understand. It's not that we preach hard on sin because we're bold. We're bold because we preach hard on sin.
That's good.
Yeah? Do you understand the difference there? It's not that we preach the truth about sodomites because we're bold. We're bold because we preach the truth about sodomites. Yeah, that's the response that you get amongst the people in a church like this, is that they get bolder because we're doing things right, because we're getting right, because we're getting righteous. It's not that we preach the truth about the Zionist fraud because we're bold. We're bold because we preach the truth about the Zionist lies.
Amen.
It's not that we preach the truth about the pre-trib lie because we're bold. We're bold because we preach the truth. Because we preach the word of God, yeah?
Amen.
That's why we're bold.
That's right.
It's not, oh, well, it's only bold people that... No, we become bold. It creates bold people. It creates bold Christians. It creates new independent fundamental Baptist lines.
Yeah, that's good.
We're bold because we preach the truth about male leadership in the home. Mm. We're bold because we preach about standards.
Yeah.
Because we preach about raising families. Because we preach about reading the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, how simple is it? But how often do you go in these churches and you could sit there for a year and they don't ever encourage you to read your Bible?
Right.
And that's the difference. And that's why we're bold. That's why we're bold as lions. And that's why these liberal, the just about remaining churches left out there, look at us and they hate us.
Yeah.
And it's not they hate us because how dare they believe what the Bible says about the Jews? How dare they believe what the Bible says about sodomites? No, it's because they're so envious. It's because they're not bold. It's because they wish they were, and they can't be bold. They look at people like Pastor Anderson and others out there, and they're envious, and they envy his boldness. But it's not that he's just born bold. No, it's because he's trying to do things right.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
That's
why we're new independent fundamental Baptist lines. Because we're trying to get righteous.
Mm.
Yeah, I hope everyone here is trying to get righteous. And if you're not trying to get righteous, you could pretend you're bold. Yeah, people could pretend they're bold. I've seen many people pretend they're bold. But it comes out in the end.
Yeah,
it comes out in the end. By reading it, by memorizing it, by preaching it.
Yeah.
Not just some of it, but all of it. It's a word of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a word of God that makes you bold.
Yeah.
But we need to make sure that we apply that boldness in our lives, don't we? It's all well and good sitting here going, yeah, we're bold. We come to a church like this. And I tell you what, for some people, you have to be bold to even come to a church like this, don't you?
Yeah.
It's much easier to go down and pass the skinny jeans around the corner and just sit there and say, yeah, love you all, give you all cuddles and hugs on the way out and go home and forget about God for the week. But when you come to a church like this, you need to be bold in the first place. You need to be bold to sit in here and listen to the preaching, listen to sometimes your sins being called out, listen to other people being called out, wondering at what point are we going to have people coming in here and causing problems?
Yeah.
Knowing that this church is a battleground itself as well.
Yeah.
You have to be bold for that. But there are three areas, I think, in our lives where we want to make sure that we are as bold as a lion, because we are new independent fundamental Baptist lions, aren't we?
Yeah.
The NIFB, which is what it's abbreviated to, lion, is number one, bold in their faith. Okay, number one, the NIFB lion is bold in their faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians 16. The male lion doesn't finish fighting off the snarling clan of 20 hyenas and then try to pretend that he's not a lion. And then try and dress up as a weaker cat, like a tiger or something like that. Yeah? Oh, you tiger lovers. I know there's some tiger lovers out there. You tiger lovers, get right with God. Yeah, it's a lion that turneth not away for any, not the tiger with his silly stripes. He doesn't keep quiet about the fact he's a lion, does he? Do you know what he does that the tiger doesn't do? Not like the lion does. You know what he does? He roars. He roars, I'm a lion. I'm a lion. And he lets people know he's a lion. Yeah? That's how bold the lion is. He's just ripped that hyena to shreds. He's chased off the rest of them. He's nicked their kill. And then he roars his head off and says, I'm a lion. And we should all be roaring our heads off.
Yeah.
We're a lion. It's quite handy being behind a pulpit because you can do that without people wondering what on earth are you doing. Some of you are wondering what on earth are you doing, aren't you? You know, well, I'm trying to be an independent fundamental Baptist line. And we should all be trying to be an independent, a new independent fundamental Baptist line, right?
Amen.
So we should be bold in our faith. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul is finishing his letter and he commands the Corinthian church in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." What does he mean to stand fast in the faith? Well, fast is firm, immovable. And he said to stand fast, didn't he? He didn't say to sit fast or creep fast, hide fast, did he? He said to stand fast. He said to stand up straight in the faith, yeah? To stand there and say, here I am, yeah? I'm a new independent fundamental Baptist.
Amen.
Yeah, that's me. I believe the word of God. I believe what these preachers that everyone hates, that the world hates, that the liberal Christian hates. Yeah, I believe everything they say. I believe pretty much everything they say. Yeah, there might be the odd thing you might disagree with, but when it comes down to the fundamentals, when it comes down to the key truths of the Bible, we believe that, don't we?
Amen.
We believe that. That's why we're here, because we believe the truth, because we believe the word of God. He's saying stand up straight in the faith. He's not just talking about your salvation. He's not just saying, oh, well, make sure you're saved.
Right.
He's not just saying, well, make sure you believe that it's grace through faith, and it is grace through faith.
Amen.
And we need to stand up for that, don't we?
Yeah,
because
Amen.
How many so-called men of God aren't standing up for grace through faith?
Right.
Because they just want more in their church. Well, if I'm not too strong on it, then at least they'll still stand the church. These people that believe that you've got to repent of your sins, whatever that means. Well, I'll tell you what, as long as we just, you know, say, well, yeah, it depends what you mean by that. Yeah, you know, that's right. No, what is repenting of your sins? Tell me what that is. And if you believe that you have to somehow stop some sort of sinning, turn away from your sins or anything else, you don't believe that it's grace through faith.
Right.
Yeah, we need to stand up for grace through faith. Quit you like men means man up. Give a proper account of yourselves. Be bold enough to say that to some. Be bold enough to the nominal Christian who hang, oh, you go to church? Yeah, I'm a Christian too. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, okay. What do you believe? Oh, yeah, there's God. Yeah, yeah. Well, stand up and say, what do you believe?
Amen.
Yeah, what do you believe? Do you need me to preach the gospel to you? Do you need to get saved? Or should we just act, oh, well, it's a bit awkward, a bit uncomfortable. Or don't want to offend them. Well, yeah, don't offend them and send them to hell. Yeah, don't offend them, and that could be the one chance they get to hear the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah, we need to stand up. We need to quit us like men. That means give a proper account of yourselves. The NIFB lion stands fast in his faith, doesn't he? Okay, but it's not just about grace through faith. The NIFB lion stands fast in his faith about there being an inspired, preserved word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, don't we stand fast in that?
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed about that? Are you embarrassed about the fact that we read the King James Bible? I had someone say to me the other day that someone tried to suggest that we're a cult because we believe that there's an inspired, preserved word of God. How dare she? Claiming to be a Christian, saying that the word of God means you're in a cult? But that's what's out there, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we want to be able to stand there and say, no, you're in a cult because what you believe is false. We believe the word of God. Yeah, and we should be, I'm happy to believe the word of God, and I will say, yeah, we are King James only, and how dare you not be? How dare you not be? You're not lions, you little scaredy cats, that's what they are. They're scared of the word of God. The NIFB lion stands fast in his faith about creation, doesn't he? He doesn't try and appease, well, maybe there's like a gap. Maybe there's a gap. Or maybe, well, maybe they weren't literal days. No, they're literal days because the Bible says they're literal days, doesn't it?
Yeah,
the Bible's clear that there are literal 6 days of creation and the seventh day rested. Okay, and we stand fast in that, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have time. I've said this before. I don't have time for all that debate. I don't have time for big, long ministries debating and casting your pearls to swine and debating with these God-hating atheists. Preach them the gospel. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk to them. Yeah, I don't have an interest in all that. I think there's a lot of vain jangling going on there. The NIFB lion stands fast in his faith about baptism, doesn't he? Well, if you fancy it, well, you know, well, it's up to you. No, you got saved. You should get baptized. And I hope every time you get someone saved, you say to them, you need to come to church to get baptized. Yeah, no, it's not going to save them. No, it doesn't mean, oh, well, it's just sealed their salvation. No, but God commands them to get baptized, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And look, I don't force someone to get baptized, but I will say to them, yes, you should get baptized. You should get baptized. And we know what baptism is. And we're not embarrassed about the fact that we dunk them underwater.
Yeah.
We dunk them underwater. Okay? And no, we don't have to do a baptism course. No, we don't have to have some sort of big ceremony where people chant and sing weird things and everything else. And no, we just dunk you underwater because you got saved.
Right.
Okay? Because that's what the Bible teaches to do. The NIFB Lion stands fast his faith about that. He stands fast his faith about clothing standards, doesn't he?
Amen.
Yeah? Are we embarrassed about clothing standards? Are you embarrassed about clothing standards?
No.
Are you embarrassed that you don't look like the wicked world out there? Are you embarrassed because you dress modestly? Are you embarrassed, men, because you dress properly, because you can't wear, you shouldn't be wearing those skinny little tight tops and those little short shorts in the gym and all that queer outfit? Are you embarrassed, ladies, because you're not flaunting your bodies like all the whores out there? Because you're not cross-dressing like many. Are you embarrassed about that? Or are you as bold as a lion? Do you stand fast in your faith? I'm talking to the teenagers and kids here as well. And stand there and say no. Because how you dress is not how God wants us to dress.
Yeah,
if someone wants to come up to you, you don't have to go around and start telling that to everyone in the street. Probably not the best way of soul winning. But I'll tell you what, if someone wants to come up to you and ask why you dress like that, someone wants to give you a funny look, well, you tell them, you be bold as a lion, yeah? Be bold as a lion, because we're New Independent Fundamental Baptist Lions, aren't we?
Yeah.
He or she is bold as a lion, like all the other New Independent Fundamental Baptists that we see in the Bible. Yeah? And they're throughout the Bible. Did you know that? The Bible is full of independent fundamental Baptists. Turn to Mark 15. Baptists like Joseph of Arimathea, who has just watched the arrest, the false charges and brutal execution of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what that New Independent Fundamental Baptist did? Well, Mark 15 and verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honourable counsellor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Why did he go in boldly? Why did he go in boldly? He's just watched Jesus Christ get murdered. He's just watched him be nailed to a cross because he was honourable. The righteous are bold as a lion. Yeah? The righteous are bold as a lion. He was an honourable counsellor. That's why he went in boldly. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Baptists like Peter and John, who have just been arrested, put in prison overnight by the same people that killed Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 4 and from verse 7, Acts 4, 7, the Bible reads, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, and by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Why were they bold? Verse 8 says that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. What was the result? Verse 13, they took knowledge of them. They took knowledge of them. They perceived that they were learned and ignorant men. Unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them because of the boldness. The boldness is for a reason, isn't it? The boldness is to show your back. The boldness of that lion is to be able to dominate the plains of Africa.
Amen.
The boldness of the New Independent Fundamental Baptist, it's to show that you are Baptist and to show that you know Jesus.
Amen.
It's to show that difference. It's to have that difference. How do you get it? How do you get the boldness? You get right, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you get doing things for Jesus. Yeah? It's not enough, I believe all that stuff. No, you get right with God. Yeah, you seek his will. You try and live right. You therefore get filled with the Holy Ghost and you get doing things for God, because you're not going to get bold doing nothing, are you?
Amen.
Keep a finger there and turn to 1 Timothy 3, where one of the boldest Baptists ever, the Apostle Paul, is telling Timothy that people that do things for God get bold. So in 1 Timothy 3, he's just given the qualifications for a pastor. Then he talks about deacons. Okay, and a deacon is basically an assistant, a help in the church for the pastor. Likewise, verse 8, 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. But let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children, their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purged themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. They have these qualities, right? Yeah, they have these amazing qualities there to be a deacon. But how do they purge themselves great boldness? Because it's not for me, boldness ain't enough. I want great boldness. Great boldness in the faith by doing the job well for God.
Yeah? Yeah?
By working for God, by doing the job properly for God. Oh, well, now and again, I do the odd thing. No, it's by wanting to work and serve and do what God wants him to do in all areas of life. Because it's all areas of life that deacon needs to qualify, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he needs to be the husband of one wife. He needs to rule his children in his own house as well. He needs to be found blameless. He needs to have his wife in subjection, grave, not a slanderer, sober, faithful in all things. He needs to hold the mystery of a faith in a pure conscience. He needs to be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Then he works for God. Then he purchases to himself great boldness in the faith. And we want great boldness in the faith, don't we? You want to be bold as a lion, get working, get busy, get soul winning.
Yeah?
Get working, get busy, get soul winning. The title of my sermon is A New Independent Fundamental Baptist Lion, as you know. We're looking at three areas where the NIFB should be as bold as a lion. Number one was bold in their faith. Number two, the NIFB Lion is bold in their soul winning. Okay, he's bold in his soul winning. Turn back to Acts chapter 4. Now, of course, there's a boldness required to even go soul winning in the first place, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a boldness required to even go soul winning in the first place. Okay, you need some boldness to go out and go soul winning. But once we're out, once you're out, that ain't enough. You have to do it with boldness. You must do it with boldness. Okay, when you're out, if that lion, look, he's out, he's taking on, he's charging towards that clan of hyenas, but he can't just suddenly then lose the boldness when he gets there. Yeah, he has to continue, he has to swipe, he has to bite, he has to growl, he has to chase them off. He has to do it with boldness. Well, Acts chapter 4 and from verse 14, Acts 4, 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For then indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But let it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, we're not at this point yet in this nation, but we get something similar sometimes on doors, don't we? Don't you knock around here, don't you? You shouldn't be saying, you shouldn't be telling kids how to get saved. What is wrong with you? Those kids that are out on their own, their parents don't even care. They're out there on their own. How dare a Christian try and show them the Bible? The danger that they might even get saved. Yeah, commanded to get out of here, get out of this area. We sometimes get that, don't we? Don't knock on that door. They won't be in. My neighbour doesn't want you knocking on their door. Well, that's funny because I'm going to knock on it anyway.
Amen. Yeah,
because
Amen.
I'm a new independent fundamental Baptist line.
Amen.
Verse 19, but Peter and John answered, said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Amen.
Amen to that, eh? We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, but we want to speak it boldly. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. So they've been threatened and let go. Jump forward to verse 29 now. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Nothing wrong with praying for boldness, is there? Anything wrong with that? Amen. Pray for boldness. But it's boldness to serve God, yeah? Amen. To speak his word. Yeah. The purpose is to get people saved. It's not boldness to whatever it is, boldness to do something in the world where you're just going to look a bit cooler, a bit more. But no, it's boldness in the faith. It's boldness to get people saved. He says in verse 30, it says here, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They're doing amazing things, miracles for God. They spake the word of God with boldness. Yeah? Now turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Because there are some here that might find that hard. There are some people that aren't maybe as outgoing. There are some people that maybe just something they suffer with more than others is the anxiety, the fear. Yeah, the issues with talking to people, the social awkwardness. Pray for it. Pray for it. Pray for boldness. But it's not praying for boldness so you can just compete with others. It's not praying for boldness so you can be some name in the church. It's not praying for boldness so you can appear unto men to be whatever it is you want to appear to be. It's praying for boldness to serve God. Yeah, it's praying for boldness to be a servant of God. Paul prayed for boldness. Paul, who's perhaps one of the boldest men that ever lived, isn't he? He prayed for boldness. In fact, he didn't only pray for it, he requested that the Ephesian church pray for his boldness. And we should all be praying for each other's boldness. Amen. Shouldn't we? That's a good example for us. Ephesians 6 and 1 verse 19. Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As he ought to speak. Yeah? That's how he should speak. That's, look, you're bringing the gospel to someone's door. You're bringing eternal life to someone's door, to someone in the street, to someone in the park, whatever it is, to someone in your personal life. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Amen. What on earth are you embarrassed about? Amen. You're bringing the gospel. You're bringing the words of eternal life. What are you embarrassed about? What are you shy about? What are you nervous about? Get them saved. If they don't, that's down to them. Yeah, we should be bold with it. And do you know what? Do you know what a difference it is when you're bold on the door? Do you know what a difference it is when someone stands and looks at you and says to you, look, I know what the Bible says is true, and I want to show you how to get saved. Then someone who goes, would you like to hear what, sorry to disturb you, but do you think they want to hear you?
No.
Do they think you're bringing something that's going to change their lives? Do they think that you're bringing the truth to their doors, or do they think that you're just another Jehovah's Witness? Yeah, there's a big difference, isn't there?
Yeah,
of course, it's the word of God that saves. Yeah, of course, we want to find people that want to hear. But you know what? They're going to want to hear you when you're bold with it.
Yeah,
they're going to want to hear you when you come with the boldness that you should, that you ought to have. You ought to speak. Because you're coming with the word of God. You're coming with salvation. You're coming with the Holy Spirit. You're coming to get people saved. And we need to make sure we're doing that when we're out preaching the gospel. Amen. Make sure you're going there with boldness. When you're banging on that door, you're banging with boldness. Yeah, you're when they open the door, you're boldly speaking the gospel to them. Yeah? And look, we could all be reminded of that, because there will all, every single one of us here will have times where we knock on the door and we're just not quite that bold, are we? And what a difference it is when you go out and you're feeling that little bit nervous, a little bit insecure, a little bit fearful about something. Yeah. Maybe it's an area that you're not used to. When that happens, what a difference it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you get the results? Do you get the results that you get when you're just bold and you're like, I want to show you how to get saved? I say you don't. You're bringing the gift of salvation. Don't whisper it. Why do you need to whisper it? Shout it if you need to. Preach the gospel to him. The neighbor might hear it as well. Great. Don't whisper it. Okay? And look, some of us have quieter voices than others. If you have a quiet voice, then learn to shout. Yeah, learn to roar like that lion when you preach the gospel, because there's nothing to keep secret about preaching the gospel. These guys here were having their lives threatened. Yeah, they're having their lives threatened. Turn to Acts chapter 19. Are you getting your life threatened for preaching the gospel?
No.
No. Not yet. Maybe not ever. I don't know. But there's a difference, by the way, between boldness and forcing people to hear you. Okay, just remember that. There's a difference between boldly preaching and boldly rowing with reprobates. Okay? There's nothing desirable about standing there having a row for an hour with a reprobate. I was bold, man. I let him have it. I told him that he's preaching at that church and it's wrong. Yeah, but what did you just do for an hour? You just told a reprobate who knows he's a reprobate that he's a reprobate. Or you told a guy that can't believe the gospel that he can't believe.
Right.
And look, we should try. Yeah, we should try and preach the gospel to people and we don't know for sure. Some people you do know for sure. But when someone stands there and says to me, I'm the pastor at, you know, whatever false church down the road, right. Yeah? And he starts talking about repenting of your sins. He starts talking about, you know, some sort of, well, as long as you keep repenting or any of that sort of rubbish, I don't want to talk to that guy. I'll rebuke him and walk off. Yeah. What have I got to say to that guy? Yeah, that ain't a kill that I want to eat. Yeah. Look, I'm a lion. I don't want to eat that. That's some dirty old mank twice dead meat. That's rotting flesh. Yeah. I don't want that. It's going to make me sick. I want to get out there and get the fresh meat. I want to get the people that want to get saved, the people that can get saved. Yeah, we've got to remember that as well, yeah? Remember that when you're out on the door. In Acts 19, verses 8 to 9, Paul is at Ephesus. He's preaching. He's leading disciples. Verse 8, it says, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. And separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So what did he do with the hard-hearted rejectors? Did he boldly beat them into submission? Did he boldly debate those ones that were hardened? We're talking about the hardened here. We're not talking about disputing with those, you know, where he's trying to get people saved. We're talking about when divers were hardened and believe not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Right.
They're done. These people are done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got to remember that, okay? There's nothing bold about getting in rows out in on the doors. There's nothing bold about getting in rows on the streets, yeah? There's something bold about opening your mouth boldly to preach the gospel. That's what we're there to do. We're there to preach the gospel. He departed from them. He left. He moved on. And look, you've got to remember that. When you're preaching the gospel, yeah, you're not trying to beat them into submission. That ain't bold. You're not trying to force someone to just eventually disagree with everything you say, because that will shut you up. That's not bold. That's a false salvation. You're trying to get them to want to put their faith in Jesus Christ, not to just shut you up. Yeah? There's a difference, obviously. Yes, we want to be bold. But the boldness is not to waste our time with distraction. It's not to waste our time with people that just want to shut you up. The title of my sermon is A New Independent Fundamental Baptist Lion. We're looking at three areas, yeah? Number one, the NIFB lion is bold in their faith. Number two, the NIFB lion is bold in their soul winning. Number three, the NIFB lion is bold in their prayer. The NIFB lion is bold in their prayer. Turn to James chapter 1. You say, hold on, Brother Ian, what does boldness have to do with prayer? It has a lot to do with successful prayer.
Amen.
Boldness has a lot to do with successful prayer. James chapter 1 and from verse 5 says, James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Don't waver, stand fast in your faith. Be bold when you ask God or you won't receive, yeah? Be bold or you will not receive. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You want to receive from the Lord, you need to be bold in your prayer life. You want to receive, you need to be bold. Don't be praying on one hand but expecting not to receive on the other. That's a double-minded man that's unstable in all his ways.
Right.
Okay, don't be there praying, oh yeah, but I know he's not going to give me that. Yeah, he ain't going to give you it.
Yeah.
Okay, you ain't going to get it. says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You listen to that, yeah? You're hearing that NIFB lying out there. You might be bold in your faith. You might be bold in your soul winning. But if you're not bold in your prayer life, then you're missing out big time. You're missing out on all the many things that you could be getting. Ephesians 3:12, you don't have to turn it. Turn to 1 John 5. You've got to ask boldly. Well, I read Ephesians 3:12. 1 John 5, you're turning to. Ephesians 3:12, talking to Jesus Christ, says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So we have access and boldness. We have, sorry, boldness and access with confidence, yeah? Hey, we should be confident in that access to Jesus Christ and bold in it. But what does it mean that we can, does that mean we can just boldly ask for anything? Is that what it means? Just boldly ask for anything and you get anything you like. If you're bold, you're going to get it. Well, as long as it's according to his will. Yeah, as long as it's according to his will. And look, I don't want things that aren't according to his will. Do you want things that aren't according to God's will?
No.
The flesh might do, the lust of the flesh does, but we shouldn't want that, should we?
No.
Yeah, and if you know what's good for yourself, you want to only have things which are according to God's will.
Amen.
Well, 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So if it's according to his will, he hears us.
Yeah?
Yeah? He will hear you if it's according to his will. Obviously, if you're praying for the Ferrari, you're praying for the... might get you to soul winning quicker. It must be his will. No, because you're probably going to crash and die. Yeah, if you're praying for the lottery, I don't think it's according to his will, because you're probably just going to end up being a scumbag, okay? Because money corrupts, yeah? But if you're praying for something according to his will, well, he hears you. And verse 14 says... And if he hears us, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Sorry, verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So he will then give us what we ask. That's great, isn't it? Amen. If you know that he hears you, then you know he's going to answer you, because he will answer. But you've got to do it in faith. You've got to do it in boldness, nothing wavering, not unstable, not double-minded. Turn to Proverbs 28. Okay, so, well, you're saying, okay, so how do I get bold as a lion when I'm praying? How do I get as bold as a lion when I'm praying? Well, it comes back to being righteous, doesn't it? Comes back to being righteous. We start in Proverbs 28, but have a look at verse 9, not verse 1. Proverbs 28, 9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
Yeah.
Abomination. Can you listen to that there? If you turn away your ear from hearing the law, if you sit in church, then you're like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what God's saying on that subject. I don't want to hear, oh, Brother Ian's just getting at us again on that bit. I don't care about that bit. And then you go home and you pray to God for things. Do you know what he thinks? It's an abomination. That's a strong verse of the Bible, that,
yes,
isn't it?
That's right. Amen.
You turn away your ear from hearing. You read in the Bible, you read something that says clearly, clear as day, God's telling you how he wants you to behave, how he wants you to act, how he wants you to live. And you go, nah. And then you go and pray to him. Do you know what that is? Abomination. That means he hates it. It's abominable. He detests it. He detests you turning away your ear from him and praying to him. And I was thinking, it's a bit like this. Imagine your kids are just ignoring your rules. Imagine one of your kids, some of you parents here, you said to them, could you just not, and they went like this, la la, can't hear you. La la, no, no, not interested, no, no. Okay, then they take their hands away from their ears and go, can I have an ice cream though? can I have this? Can you do something nice? Can you go and spend a load of time and money on me though? What are you going to think about that request? Abomination! It'd be you little brat, come here! How dare you! In fact, you should be like that when they're doing this bit, yeah? You know, oh, yeah, sure, whatever you want, you poor little thing. Oh, well, it was, oh, no, because that bit was a bit hard for you. Oh, well, you know, doing that bit, you know, well, you know, that bit in church, where that was a bit mean, wasn't it? Oh, 2 weeks in a row, the preaching hit you. I don't, of course, you don't have to do that. But what would you like? What would you like? That's what it's like, isn't it? Yeah, listen to what God's got to say. Yeah, look, you might not always get it right. Yeah, of course. Of course, we're all sinners. Of course, we all have the sinful flesh. But if you're just turning away your ears, you're going, I don't want to hear that. I'm going to switch off at this part. I'm going to go away and just, I don't want to hear what Brother Ian's got to say about following church rules. Look, that's coming from God ultimately, okay? Because God wants you to be a good church member.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to hear what Brother Ian's got to say about how we should dress when we're not at church. No, because that's what God has to say, yeah? You're turning away your ears. Oh, well, I don't want to hear what Brother Ian's got to say about this sin in my life, about this sin or that sin, or, you know, about how I should be reading my Bible. But God said, night and day, didn't he?
Amen.
He said through the psalmist, thy law do I love. Yeah, we should love it. You should want to read it. You should want to pray to him. You should want to pray to him. If you want to pray to him, you don't want your prayer to be abomination. You need to get right. You need to not turn away your ears from hearing the law. Otherwise, your prayer shall be abomination. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. If you hear what God's saying to you, he will hear what you're saying to him. And then you can be bold in what you ask.
Amen.
Pretty simple, isn't it? So it should be. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24. Proverbs 10:24 says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted.
Amen.
It's all about being righteous, isn't it? It all comes back to it. It's all about, but yeah, we're saved grace through faith. Yeah, we make a point, don't we? And we say it a lot when we're out there. Look, we're just another sinner. Yeah, of course we sin. Yep. Sadly, we sin every day. Yeah. Look, we're not trying to deny that, but we want to be trying to be righteous. Yeah. And God sees a heart, doesn't he?
Yeah.
God sees a heart. He knows what you want to do. And sometimes I think we can get so carried away with, obviously, because those of you that are preaching the gospel a lot, and you should be preaching the gospel a lot, we're saying to people, look, we're all sinners. Yep, and look, and we are. I'm not trying to say we're not, but you know what? It ain't an excuse. It's not an excuse, and it's not just pick and choose time with what God's law said. No, we want to try, we want to get our hearts right, we want to try and live for God. We don't want to turn away our ears from the law. And like it says here, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. You want your desires granted, then get right. Get righteous.
Amen.
Yeah, get right with God. It's all about being righteous, even in prayer. It's a righteous that are bold as a lion. And that's why, when it comes back to what I said at the beginning, we're New Independent Fundamental Baptists. Do you know what that really means? Ultimately, what it really means is that we're trying to get righteous. We're trying to live how God wants us to live. We believe the whole counsel of God. We believe the whole word of God, and we try and follow it. Okay? Right. And that's what it comes down to. And that's why when you try and do things right, you can say, yeah, I'm a New Independent Fundamental Baptist line.
Amen.
Yeah? And that's what it comes down to. Get righteous, get bold, get lion-like. So the NIFB line is bold in their faith, bold in their soul winning, bold in their prayer. And on that, let's boldly pray. Father, we thank you that look, there are people around that you know, that we can all join together and want to be how you want us to be, that we're all here because we all just want to live by your word. And whatever label you call that, ultimately, it's just trying to be a righteous Christian, trying to do things right, trying to get things right. We're going to fail. We're going to fail regularly. We're going to fail daily. But help us to want to get right. Help us to not want to pick and choose, not make it a pick and mix, and just when you clearly tell us to do something, you clearly command us to do something, to want to do it. And Father, I pray that you help us to do that this afternoon for starters, and just go out and preach the gospel like you command us to preach the gospel to every creature, to go out and do that. Pray that you'll help fill us with boldness when we do that. Pray that every single person here, man, woman, child, is filled with the boldness that you want us to have to get right, to get righteous, to want to live right, to then be filled with that boldness. Help us to get all these things in order. Help us get our lives in order. Help us to start with that this afternoon, and help us to continue that this evening, to return for this evening's service for the men's preaching night. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen.
Amen.